jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I was just thinking here as we're winding up, I looked down at my clock. It's 4 a.m. live and in color from the Tim Tuber studio here in Scio, Oregon. I'm reminded of The Wizard of Oz. When Dorothy, you guys all remember that scene, when Dorothy clicks her heels and says, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. I'm starting to get a little bit of that feeling. We are still here today in Scio, what a name, Scio, Oregon. After having wrapped up what was really a fabulous weekend, I'm going to talk a little bit about that here. What a great host Tim and Lynn have been here, opened up their home, and the new people that we've met. And you know, you think you come up here to a place like Oregon? No, I had never been here. I'd never been to Oregon. Last night we Tim drove us about 3 hours last night down to Grants Pass, way down south. We drove through the mountains of Oregon. If you've never seen that, wow, it's pretty amazing. It's just beautiful. God's creation is something. We drove 3 hours last night to have dinner with Paul Walter, who's the publisher of NewsWithViews.com. And as those of you know, I've been writing for News with Views since 2004 and had never met Paul before. And he was really adamant, man. He wanted us to come down there and see him.
Wow.
So we drove 3 hours. Tim drove us 3 hours down. We had a beautiful dinner with Paul and his wife. And then we rolled in last night. I think it was about 11 o'clock. We got in, which I always tell him I'm on East Coast time, so it was like 2 o'clock last night. And then I pop up 3.5 hours later. I'm not trying to sound like a martyr, okay? I'm not complaining, moaning, groaning, but it wears you out, man. It's tiring to do it. And God bless Chad Estes. Chad's been here with us for the 4 days, doing the best we can, and to build a brigade out here. And Deborah and Gary Williams and we met some new folks, some good stuff, and it's. You get out here in this what they call this great Northwest, and in a lot of ways I had the same feeling that I had when I was in Chappaqua, and the fact that, you know, that we have such a challenge ahead of us, folks, to try to unite these I don't want to cheapen them by calling them patriots. That's not what they are. These deeply committed Christian people who see and understand what's going on, and they're everywhere. And one of the things I want to dive into here later in the show, if the Lord allows me to, is I have great frustration. How can I help more? And I don't say that in a oh woe is me way. They're out there by the thousands, by the millions. And the enemy's greatest effort, and right now he's doing everything he can to try to make us feel isolated. We look at we're here in Oregon. Tim Tuber, who lives here, his whole life. We told him we caught wind on Friday night that there was a homo pride parade in Albany, which is about. It's the town Tim lives in. It's about 10 miles, but there's a homo pride parade in Albany. Jeff Nell, God bless Jeff Nell and his wife Margaret, they drove 9 hours to be here. Jeff was in all hands on deck in Jeff and Fallon. He was at all hands on deck, and he gets home, and he and his wife drive 9 hours to be here again with us. God bless the heart of a guy like that that is so deeply committed and wants to be part of it. And, I know that Jeff Jeff Nell's out there everywhere we look. But we see Jeff finds out on the internet that there's a homo parade in Albany. And Tim, who lives here, says, no, there's no homo parade in Albany. Jeff says, yes, there is. Yes, there is. And we got up Saturday morning and we followed our nose and we went downtown Albany and it was amazing. There was a homo parade in Albany, Oregon. Now, folks, here's the thing. They'd all been bussed in. They had to have been bussed in. And those of you who went to the Columbus Pride Parade know what I'm talking about. This was like the creme of the creme of the homos. Every vile, deep, you talk about a deep, deep commitment, man, from those demonically infested folks that were there. They had a parade in Albany, Oregon, listening to me, and not a cop to be seen, not a cop anywhere. Now, I want you to ask you folks, if you help me out here. Can you think of any city in America where they would have a parade where they shut down streets and not see a cop? When people are walking in the streets, not a cop car at the intersection with his lights flashing, not a stinking cop. And so we showed up there.
Weird,
brother. We showed up there. We didn't know exactly what was going on. And we were immediately, you know what it was? I felt like Rich and Dakota. God bless Rich and Dakota. God bless Kay and Kim and Randy. It was like we were in the zoo. The freaks are lined up taking pictures of us. We've got a big banner. We're standing there. It was like an alternative world. And the next thing I know, we were surrounded, and they were vile, and they were on the verge of violence. And I'm telling you, my friends, we have better wake up, because this demonic homosexual movement, we are going to reach the point where they will kill you and think they do a good thing. We were the freaks. And so Tuber still didn't believe us. And finally, Chad got a hold of him and said, yeah, you know, Chad, yeah, it's really going on. So Tim tried to get down there and be part of it. And it was, it's hard to explain. But you know what's really kind of cool? I'm heading somewhere. Stay with me. Spokane, you hear that? Have you heard of the Church of Planned Parenthood? Have you folks out there heard about the Church of Planned Parenthood? Yes, maybe. Well, they're having church. Pastor Ken Valencia, I think his name, has organized the Church of Planned Parenthood, and they're showing up weekly. 500, 600, 700 people are showing up and having church outside of Planned Parenthood, and it's beginning to spread. And the police forces are becoming more and more aggressive. Would that be a word to use? That they're more and more clearly on the side of the demons, of the demonic. And up here in this nest of liberalism, or whatever you would call it, up here where in the great Northwest, where all the tree huggers, that's what you think about them being, right? The tree huggers are up in Washington and Oregon, and man, the battle is raging up here as well. And I guess here's my heart. I'm going to jump in this real quick. Then I got some other stuff we're going to get after. Here's my heart. This is, if you want to know what, should I take these off? If you want to know what really wearies me, it's not the travel. It's not being away from home. It's not the 500 emails I have to get to yet. The things I'm going to have to catch up on when I get home. When I've been gone for, it's been like 5 days, and I get back home, and the stuff that's going to be waiting on me when I get home, it just makes me shudder to think about it. That's not what wearies me. That isn't what wearies me. My greatest frustration, maybe it's the old coach in me, the greatest frustration is, what can I do to better equip you? What can I do? That I think that's my greatest frustration, because I look again and I just continue to say there is no reason we lose. No reason we lose. How can the left? How can the left bus in? Probably, I'm guessing that I didn't see any buses. I didn't see any buses. How can the left get 500 of the most vile, deviant people in the Great Northwest into Little Albany, Oregon, and nobody know it? And we can't get 5 people organized, and we go online and talk about the Equal Justice Tour. We talk about it for months.
Somebody's got to care. Somebody's got to look for that. Who cares?
Who cares, Coach? Mark? That's my frustration. Mark, I think they care. What is it? Let's open that up a minute. What is it, Church? What is it? Why am I and Chad and Jeff Nell, I'm just throwing out names, why are we so eaten up by this and the rest of the world seems to care so little? I'd love to hear from you. Somebody help me out. Because, see, hang on just a second. We're going to have to take a serious evaluation of us. Folks, they had 500 vile, demonic homosexuals, 500 of them, out of nowhere to surge on Albany, New York, and we can't get 100 at a Planned Parenthood. So come on in.
Hey, okay. Coach, it's all about the lie, bro. And then they're buying into that spirit of cowardice. This weekend I was listening to an old tape of some guy named Tony Palmer, and the lie that him and the Pope were concocting. Mm. And that one, I put it right there in the huddle so you can see it. It's a good view.
I think I've seen that.
It vindicates everything that we speak of, especially what you bring to the table. It's all on there. This guy named Batchelor, he analyzed it point by point. Excellent view. When you see that lion, that heart of the Judah that's in all of us, will grow. And then we'll go out there bold as lions and tear down the whole thing.
Amen, Vic. But so I guess, again, somebody else tried to come in. My frustration is that I'm like a football coach who I feel like I haven't given you the right equipment. And it's game time, and some of you don't have your shoulder pads. It's my fault. I mean, it's not. That's how I feel. How is the other side so equipped and so motivated and so there, and we don't seem to care? Somebody come in and help me here.
I've got two thoughts on it, Coach. Number one is they started practicing their game plan years and years and years ago while we were still in the process of dividing ourselves over little bitty minutiae of biblical points.
That's a great point, Larry. That's
and the second point. Thing is this, is there are a whole lot of us who are true brothers and sisters in Christ out there who do care, but like I say, we haven't had the experience in their practice. And the Bible is clear, we've got to practice stuff. We've got to learn to do stuff. We've got to take our knocks and make our mistakes so we can get better at what we're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible's clear about that. Amen. And we haven't had the experience the left has had, but our main problem in Christianity, and that calls itself Christianity today, is we've got a lot of members of the body of Christ out there, but a lot of the groups they are associated with do not have true Christians as leaders, and the leaders will not cooperate with each other because of jealousy.
Bingo. If I had a mic, I'd drop it. I'm dropping it. Yes.
Mike Heath, they made it. They started by making it personal and pretending it wasn't, and we didn't. Is there anything more personal than human sexuality, than what happens in the bedroom between a man and a woman?
Nothing.
Of course, there isn't, and that's what they've used as proxy warrior for their ideology. Is all sex is good sex as long as it's consensual. And they've turned that into a political debate. They've subject of laws and politicians and electing presidents and blah, 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 blah. And it's just a very personal issue. And we've refused to make it personal. That's why I'm going to Chappaqua with you, Coach, because we're making it personal. We're taking the fight to a person. It's personal.
It is personal. It is, Mike. And, you know, we saw this. I wish Randy was in here. I don't know if Chad even got up this morning. We had a situation where in a discussion with one of these, I don't know, demoniacs. I don't know what else to call these people. I'm telling you, I don't know. I do not know what else to call these people that we saw in Albany, Oregon on Saturday, other than demoniacs. And you saw the power of agreement. When you say, Coach, what do you mean power of agreement? Well, Jesus said, whether two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there. See, I think that Satan counterfeits that. And I think that wherever two or more of them are gathered, he's there. Satan's there. And their power of agreement is something, it's unmistakable and unbelievable. But we hit a real nerve. I thought there was going to be a brawl. We weren't trying to instigate a brawl, though we weren't backing down. We weren't at all. I was watching Rich and Dakota. They were preaching, and we got a new Randy. We met a new Randy, and he was there, and he was bold. And I'm telling you, the spirit was that far away from murder. That's the spirit that we were dealing with. And the thing that set the spirit off was the mention of the word pedophile.
You're trying to take away their dessert. That's what's wrong.
Well, brother, listen, do you understand? You know when you hit the sweet spot?
Yeah.
And it was an accidental sweet spot. And I'm going to tell you something. It was amazing. The battle's real, man. The battle's very, very real. And our side, we're going to have to make a decision. We're either going to have to engage or walk away. What we're doing is not going to hold today, boys and girls. It isn't going to hold. And so our side's going to have to decide, are we going to engage this war, or are we going to, pardon me, bend over? That's the way I see it. That's where we are. And our side still is not taking this thing seriously enough. Was that Paul? Somebody tried to come on in. Come on in.
Hey, Coach, it's Alan. Hey, Alan. Going to tell you, how you doing, Coach? Matthew 8:29, whenever Jesus was casting those devils out of the demoniac, they all cried out and said, Lord, have you come to torment us before the time? And the problem is, Coach, is that these spirits that's driving these men, women, whatever they are, they know what time it is, Coach. In the spirit realm, the evil spirits know what time it is. And Christians, it's not on fire for Christ. It's not filled with the Holy Ghost. That has no discernment. They can't see the battle cry, but the evil spirits, they totally know what time it is, Coach.
There's no doubt about it. You know, buddy, I don't know if I know what time it is, but I know, sitting on my ass, it ain't that time. I know that, buddy. And so,
amen.
Tim, you know, Tim, I don't know if you can jump in. Tim's in the other room, or you can come in here, Tim. Tim, who lives in this community, said, there's no parade in Albany. There's no homo parade in Albany. You know what we found out? The homo parade in Albany was sponsored by a local homo church, a homo Methodist church. So is it possible, and this is some research I told Timmy I'll try to do, is it possible they just came in and held a parade without the police knowing? Is that even possible? Or did the people in the town, did the city fathers know what was going on and not tell anybody? And to think that we would show up at a parade and not a cop to be seen, after we had been threatened and accosted, and I mean, it was, boys, I'm telling you, it was the real deal. Only after we'd been there about 40, 45 minutes, only then did the first cop car show up. And I'm wondering who called them. Somebody must have called them. How can there be 500 homos parading down the streets of your city and no cops be there? None.
Something just dropped into my spirit, fellows, and that's this. We have got to, number one, stop referring to those homo churches as churches. They're satanic social clubs or anything but churches. And number two, we've got to start calling them out publicly. We have got to start from the rooftops shouting the truth that these guys are claiming the mantle of Christianity, and they are anything but Christians. And I don't, it doesn't matter what befalls on us because we're doing this. If we do not speak out against this, we put the name of Jesus Christ to shame.
Well, Larry, not only do we put the name of Jesus Christ to shame, we are going to be drugged through something like we ain't never seen. I'm going to, that's the way that I see it. Jared, if you want to pull something up, I want you guys to see this. By the way, please pipe in. I want to hear from you. Are we not equipping you enough? What is it? What is it that's holding you back? That's a commercial seatbelt. What's holding you back? What is it? What is it that's holding you back? Is it fear? Is it finances? Is it ridicule? What is it? What? How can I help you get more engaged? How can I do it? Now, look, I hear somebody trying to commit. Come on in.
Coach, we're in slumber. It's a slumber. And basically what is going on is the plane, you know, everyone's sleeping and the plane's going to go down. And you're trying to wake people up and tell them, hey, we're going to crash. And people just aren't understanding the concept of, well, you know, we're at 20,000 feet and, you know, we're going down. And you got to wake up.
Folks, here's what I know. Again, I met another Randy this weekend, and he was basically his First Amendment rights were completely and totally trampled on the week before at a, wouldn't you know it, drag queen thing at their library. They go up to oppose it, and he was telling me, he said, "Coach, you don't get it. These cops, you don't get it." Well, he sends me a clip today, Jared. It's the second thing we have there. It says Spokane cops. This is a real short video from Spokane, Washington, from a couple of weeks ago at a drag queen by a library event. All right, Randy sent me this, and this video is, first of all, we're going to pull up a magazine called Saved Magazine. Saved Mag. I think I said that, Jared. It's okay. I don't want to get confused here. But you'll see this logo, Saved Mag, in this video I'm going to play. And I want you to watch this interaction between the policeman and just some guy who shows up who wants to share the gospel of Jesus Christ on the streets outside the drag queen hour. And I want you to watch, folks, this is what we're up against. Remember, the Bible says this, that their day will come when they kill you and say they do a good thing. This is only about a two-minute clip. This local pastor was arrested. Now, this is not the video of him being arrested. He's the guy who started Saved Magazine. We'll go to that website when we get done, but not right yet. And I just want you to watch this. This is for those of you who are sitting at home and don't understand it. You know, they say Antifa. Antifa is still in the streets up here in Spokane and Seattle. That beast is still out there. So this is a two-minute clip from Spokane police. Just watch this. Just watch this on the streets of America. Go ahead.
Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Go stand next to me. I don't like bigots.
Bigot. 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 I'm standing here. I'm not going to move. Bigots.
This is the pastor. Hang on, Jared. This is the pastor. This is a pastor just walking through the crowd. He's not even saying anything, okay? He's merely walking through the crowd. Go ahead.
Advocating for execution of gay people?
No, that's what the Bible talks about.
Yes, and something you thought so supported online?
I believe it.
Okay, you're not exercising your press rights.
Just asking you questions.
No, you're not exercising your press rights, all right? If you want to report on the story, you can.
Just ask me a question.
You don't have to answer. That's not your job. Okay, as a press person, that is not your job to answer these questions. Okay?
Yeah, we're here to comply. We're just the press.
Okay. And when you're acting like the press, you can be here. But when you're not going to be here.
Okay, you can tell me how I didn't act like the press.
Because you're engaging him on political topics.
It's
it's on video. He engaged me.
That's fine. And I'm telling you, if you'd like to stay here, you need to act like the press and not try to take a political view.
Instead of being a bigot.
He asked me a question. He asked me a question.
Okay. I don't believe you, but, all right, to comply, you can walk here and report on the story. You can't preach the Bible to people and tell them the Bible. I heard you say something about the Bible. Here's the story. I'm going to tell you right now, all right? As long as you act like the press, you can stay here. As soon as you start preaching the Bible to people on this, listen to me, all right? You will be either arrested or escorted off this side of the property. Do you understand?
I understand that I am the press. If I'm asked a question, I will answer it. However, if they ask me a biblical question, it's my right to answer with the Bible.
So stay right there, Jared. So he is on those public streets where there is a homo fest taking place. And the cop tells him three times, if you start preaching that Bible, you're going to jail. Now, folks, that ought to send chills up and down your spine. You say, well, that's in Spokane. That's up in Washington, up in the lands of the fruits and the nuts. Really? Really? You think that's it, huh? You think that's what's going on?
Hey,
and hang on just a second, Larry. I want to make all of you aware of, Jared, maybe you can go to that website, savedmag.com. And this is being put together by a pastor who, here in Spokane, he was arrested. He's Iranian, of all things. Savedmagazine.com, savedmag.com. And I would just encourage all of you to go there, go to that website and like that website. And if you want to help them out simply by ordering a magazine, it's really, really, really some good stuff. And I'm telling you, there it is, the Church of Planned Parenthood. They're fighting, they are fighting a fight. I'm telling you, boys. And what starts on the coast is coming our way. And it's something. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, that was a prime example of what I've noticed. For a lot of years now. Every now and then I've had to be in court for, you know, one speeding ticket in my life and one parking ticket, et cetera, et cetera. And I've sat in those court sessions and I have watched example after example of policemen on the street making up law in their own mind and enforcing it. And then I have watched magistrates stand behind it in supposedly a court. The system is evil. It's against Christians from the start. We have got to stick together. We have got to stay together. We have got to call the system out. The time has come when we can no longer sit by and wait for somebody else to start doing it, or we all perish separately.
Larry, folks, I'm going to tell you something. That homosexual demonic spirit is bloodlust. I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. It is a beast. And the church is in no way, shape, or form prepared for going face-to-face or nose-to-nose with this beast. And we better get ready. We better get ready. All across America, the police are cowtowing to this homosexual agenda. We saw when we went at our event in Columbus, the police boxed us in. They boxed us in. We are the... Listen, they were taking pictures of us like we were monkeys in a zoo. I wish I could impress upon you how serious it is. I wish I could help you to awaken before it's too late.
Coach, this is Joseph.
Hey, Joseph.
In 1747, the Scots in Scotland was trying to take their country back. They were called the Jacobites. And the local farmers wouldn't join them. They tried to get the kings and the supporters in their area to join them. So they grew to it took them amount of time to grow. But they eventually tried to go against England in their depression. And they were overcome. But they did finally get the people to join.
Well, Joseph, I believe that, I'm just dumb enough to believe that there's an awakening going on.
Yes.
But here's the problem as I see it. And that's where I got started here this morning. Folks, can I tell you the truth? There's no urgency on our side. There's absolutely no urgency. And if you would have stood in my shoes, or Chad's shoes, or Tim's shoes, or Jeff Nell's shoes, or Randy's shoes, or Rich's and Dakota's, if you'd have stood where we stood on Saturday, you would have seen it. There is no urgency to our movement. We had a local pastor that came up to us while we were out there being attacked. I'm telling you, they'd have killed us if they could have. There were no cops around. And, you know, there was a couple of times I thought we were going to have to defend ourselves, literally, physically defend ourselves. And I'm thinking, this ain't going to be good. This ain't going to be good. If somebody has to defend themselves here, they're going to swarm on us like locusts. This ain't going to be good. And we don't understand the urgency. We don't understand how committed they are to their cause. And my frustration continues to arise because I know it's not me, but I continually ask myself, how can I better equip people? How can I wake them up to understand what's going on? And I don't have an answer to it. I don't have an answer.
Coach, the reason is because the lack of urgency is because it's in the church. The church is what is putting is taking the urgency out of people's moral concern about what they're seeing in the media. The church, the pastors, the hierarchies of the church, through philosophy, through vain philosophies.
Jared, John 10, Jared, pull that up. John 10, go ahead, Mike.
They're taking the edge off. They're removing you. You know, the cross hat, the coach, the athlete, we're not going to back down sensibility, the masculine virtue edge. They remove
that.
They remove it. It's the church that's doing it. It's the evangelical conservative church that's doing it.
It's the correct pseudo church that's doing it.
No, Larry, listen, let me tell you something. To a degree it is, but I'm going to tell you the truth, Larry, everybody. Christian men are weak. Christian men are weak. There's no getting around it. We're weak.
Amen.
We've been softened.
Coach.
We failed to recognize that we are at war, and we won't act like we are. Yeah, is that Paul? Come on in, Paul.
Yes, sir. This is Paul. How are you doing?
Good. Great, brother.
Hey, a couple things. I think what's happened is the church has turned the word of God from a sword into a feather.
I'm going to steal that one.
Also, too, one thing I was thinking is, I know you'd asked this question, similar question, on Saturday after the parade, what can we do and things like that. And I was kind of pondering that over the week. And I think what we need to do is maybe find like-minded people like ourselves that may not be a part of the Salt and Light Brigade in certain areas and joint link with them. Like this pastor in Spokane, things like that.
Right.
Because I think that's where it is. Our numbers may be small, but the thing is, we've got the Lord on our side. We have the Lord, and He's stronger than anything that the devil can throw at us. But I think that's what's important too, is finding like-minded people that and linking up with them and
So Paul, I've told this story before and it's true. When I became football coach at London High School in 1989, that was our first season there. And I was halfway through we went 3-7 that first year. When I was halfway through this that first season, came the realization that there were more football players walking the halls of London than there were on the football field. You know what I'm saying? Some of the best football players weren't even playing football. Whatever reason, the program had been down. People decided they didn't want to do it. And about halfway through that first season, I realized it. And during the off season, I began to walk the halls. I began to spend time out in the halls. And I would come up to some guys, you know, hey, he's at his locker with his girlfriend. And I'd come up to him and say, hey, man, what's your name? He would tell me, my name's Pete. I said, Pete, man, do you ever play football? So yeah, I used to play back when I was in eighth grade. I used to play back when I was in ninth grade. But you know, because I played. I said, come on, man. I said, we need you, man. He said, oh yeah, I've been out of it. So I said, well, let me ask you something. Can you do this? And they'd look at me like I was nuts. And he said, yeah, I can do that. I said, can you do this? And I started doing a jumping jack in front of him. Can you do this? He says, yeah, I can do that. I said, we need you. We need guys who can clap, and we need guys who can do jumping jacks. We need, when we run out on that football field, we need a stinking army. Can you do this? And our numbers went, you listen to me, our numbers went from 45 to top four grades. Do the math. That's 10 players in the ninth grade and 10 players in the 10th grade. You can't win no football games like that. You can't win with it. And our numbers went from 45 to nearly 100 to the point where I thought I was going to try to figure out if we were allowed to use double numbers. I was running out of numbers. We don't have a number 100 and we don't have a number 99. What numbers am I going to put on these guys' backs? And why was it? Because I went to them and said, can you do this? We need you. We need you. Can you do this? And they finally decide, yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And I want to be part of it. And when we got it, when you got the hand clappers finally out on the field and they got involved, boom, things took off. Boys, you're going to have to go around and find some hand clappers. You got to find them. They're everywhere. And nobody is organizing those. And the time is going to come. The time is coming when you are going to have a team. It's coming as sure as I'm looking in this microphone now. And if you are going to wait until you have to have them to find them, it's too late.
Hey, Coach, this is Ray.
Hey, Ray.
Yeah, is there not a cause? Anywhere you look, there's a cause. We're going back to Wausau. That's where we were at the council meeting last week. The state of Wisconsin under Governor Evers has been raising the gay flag over the Capitol and over every municipal building. We're going to the DMV today, and I had a call out. We got maybe four of us are going to go. And, yeah, they have the flag, the gay flag, flying over the DMV building. So we're going there, and I'm just going to preach and bring the Bible and make some kind of a noise. I heard Maryland took down the POW and MIA flag and put up a gay flag. So this cause is everywhere, but I don't know. I feel like going there and just taking the flag down and stepping on it and burning. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
That's the kind of thing it's going to take. Hey, Ray, are you ready for this one, Ray? Folks, are you ready? I didn't know this. Here in Oregon, I don't even know the governor's name. Did you know the governor of Oregon is an openly bisexual woman?
Wow.
The governor.
Hey.
Did you hear that? An openly bisexual woman. Do you know that right now we have a guy who's getting traction as president of the United States, his butt plug or whatever his name is. Do you know that he identifies as a wife? Do you understand? He identifies as a wife in a relationship with another man, and he's getting traction as president of the United States. Folks, something crazy is going on.
We had him in North Augusta down here, Coach, and we went out to there, and we were calling him sodomite, you know, and he shouldn't be doing this, and he turned back to God. And they had the cops escort us off in his area where he was doing his celebration.
Listen to this one. You want to know what we're up against? I hope you guys are sitting down, because it's the hour is later than you realize, and you better be praying there's a rapture, and you better get your kids saved because they're going to need it. You think I'm lying to you? You better get prepared. In the marching, in the parade at this place here in Albany, Oregon, some lady came up to me. And it stunned me so much that I'm rarely without a response, rarely. She came up to me, her eyes were flashing mad, and she looked at me, and you know, she said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's the scriptures, boys. This demon-possessed hag quoting scripture to me that nothing can separate them from the love of God. I didn't even know what to say.
Romans 1.
Well, are we going to be observers in this war? Jared, did you pull up John 10? Because I got to go ahead. Come on in, Mark.
Is that
Mark?
Before you move on, Coach, I got to go back to what Ray said. It's a question. If hundreds or thousands of rainbow flags fell to the ground on a particular day in the future, and there were that many court cases, would we have people that would be willing to be defendants? You hear what I'm saying? They're tearing them down left and right. Our war memorials, the POW flags. It's perfectly fine. But what right and what action could be taken? Look, what if the American flag was removed from places? And I know it already is being removed. We're going to do what? Nothing? Look, they're replacing our history as the Illuminati dictated, as everyone else has been saying is going to happen. They're replacing our history with rainbow flags and a whole new demonic. It's a little g god. This is anger's god. We are to worship no other gods, but no other gods before him. Coach, these flags are not going to. If I got to take a job at a company waving one of these flags, Coach, you hear what I'm saying? Is there an action that we can take when we see a flag in front of us at a church? Can we take it down? That's the question.
It's not the question. See, the other side would do it, Mark. See, the righteous are supposed to be bold as lions, but it's not the righteous that are bold.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Vic.
I would have answered that demon, whatever, that said it's not separated from the scripture. I would have told her, and she said God, I would have said, which God? And then I would have followed that up with there is a God, and then there is the God. The God being our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, but Vic, don't miss this. She was preaching the word of the God of the Bible. Out of context,
right? I know that's what they do. It's crazy.
Okay, so now listen, folks. I hope you're sitting down, because I spur of the moment, I did this brief teaching on, I think it was Saturday night around the campfire. It was just impressed upon me, and I'm going to show you the problem. Okay, now Jared, go to John 10. You're at chapter 10. Go to verse 10. Because I'm going to show you. Remember, I'm telling you guys that we're always being taught things that are not true. We hear it over and over, things that are not biblical and are not true. And I'm going to expose for you right now one of the greatest misunderstandings, I believe, in all of Scripture. Okay? John 10. You can underline that, Jared. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I hear people everywhere I go say that the devil has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And I say, you know what? That may be true, but that ain't what the Bible says. The devil is not the thief in John 10. Now, Jared, let's go to John 10, verse 1. Sitting down, Roger. Is Roger even in here with us this morning? I haven't even been. We've got a good 48 people in the queue. Sit down. I want you to sit down because I'm going to show you the problem in America. John 10, chapter 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, whenever he says that, has to say it twice. He's trying to get your attention. So, hey, again and again, boys. Hey, listen up, listen up. I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into where the sheep are. Now, you think scripturally, what you think in the American genre, where are the sheep? Can somebody tell me where the sheep are in America? I'm asking right now. Let's clarify this real quickly. Where are the sheep in America?
They're in the church.
The sheep are in the church, all right? So verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door entereth where? Into the sheepfold. What's the sheepfold? The sheepfold is the place where the sheep are. He that comes into where the sheep are, but doesn't come in the door, but climbs in some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now hang on, Jared. Go down to John 10. Go down to John 10:10. Let's scroll down there. Hang on. The thief cometh not. Now time out a minute. We don't need to go any further than this, although I'm going to. Who's the thief? Can somebody show me anywhere so far has the devil been mentioned? Who is identified as the thief in the very first verse? Can somebody help me out here?
The thief is that guy that is sitting in the church pretending to be a Christian.
Oh, I think it's more than that, Larry.
Backslid preacher.
Go back to verse 1, Jared. The thief. I want to find out who this thief is because I want to stop him. The thief, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door. Time out a minute. What is the door? What is the gate? Does anybody know what the door is and what the gate is?
Jesus.
So if somebody ends up in a pulpit in America and they snuck in some way other than the calling of the Holy Spirit, that dude is a thief and a robber. Stay with me. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. I ain't heard nothing about the devil yet, okay? So who is the shepherd of the sheep? The one who comes in through the door. Not the guy crawls in a window, but a guy comes in the door. He is the sheep. And now watch. To him who, the shepherd who comes in by the door through the Holy Spirit, to him the porter openeth. Wait a minute. Who's the porter? What does the porter do? What does a porter do?
Guard the door.
Watches and guards the door. And who is the porter? Come on, boys. Time to grow up. Who's the porter?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit is the porter. Amen. Right? So to him, who? The guy who comes in through Christ the way he's supposed to come in, the porter, the Holy Spirit, opens the door. Says, come on in, man. Come on in. And what happens when that happens? Why, the sheep hear his voice. And the call, and he calls his own sheep by name. And watch this. He leads them out. He don't lead them in. The real shepherd of the sheep leads the sheep out. Now, this is only after the porter has given him legal entrance into the sheepfold where the sheep are. Stay with me. Hey, by the way, anybody seen devil yet? Anybody seen any mention of the devil yet? Devil coming to kill and to steal and destroy? Huh? Because they told us right in the first verse who the thief was, and the thief wasn't the devil. The thief is some guy who's standing in the pulpit that came in some other way. He's the thief. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them. How many pastors are taking their sheep to the mission field? How many pastors are doing that? None. They're leading the sheep in, not leading them out. But when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them. I would never send my own grandchildren out into the field without going with them. I would never do that. I would never say, well, bless you, David. Bless you, Reese. Go in the Lord. I'd never do that. I'm the shepherd. I would go with them. And you know what it says? The sheep follow who? The real shepherd. They follow the real shepherd. Why? For they know his voice. Stay with me. How much time I got here? I got to get through this. Oh, I got time. And the stranger They ain't following no stranger. Because the stranger ain't going out. He's going in. He ain't out trying to impact the world. He's trying to bring people into the church to build a bigger church. The stranger is. And the stranger, they're not going to follow. But they're going to flee from him. Coach. For they know not the voice of strangers. These are the Christians, Holy Spirit Christians. They know a fraud. Go ahead. Is that Dale?
Mike drop here. You just said, Coach, those who are sitting in those apostate pseudo churches and still sitting there and still following and still, quote, being fed and led by those thieves are not themselves true Christians, because that verse right there says those who are will not follow those people.
Larry, it couldn't be any more clear. It could not be any more clear. And if you're sitting in your old dead church just because your mom and dad went there and your grandpa went there and you were baptized there and your family built the church and there's somebody snuck in another way, there's somebody else standing in that pulpit that came in another way. And if you're holding on and you're supporting that old church, dude, it's time to wake up. Let me go. I got to get through this. This parable Jesus said unto them, but they didn't get it. So he said, well, let me try this again. Let me go a different direction here, Jesus says. He said, okay, boys, let me say it to you this way. I'm the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. The only way you can go stand in one of those pulpits is if I called you. And if I've called you, I'm going to open up a door and you're going to come in. If you're coming in some other way. And all that ever came before me, Jesus says, are thieves and robbers. Folks, there it is again. Thief and robber. There it is. And he ain't talking about the devil. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the dead religious system. He said, I'm here that you, I came that you might have life. John 10, but I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, that old dead religion, that ain't no life in that old dead religion. Ain't no life. He says, the thief comes and he's going to steal from you. He's going to steal the life right out of you. He's going to steal your finances. He's going to steal your zeal. He's going to steal everything for you. And he's come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And boys, quit following that guy, because I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Stay with me. I'm still in verse 9. I am the door. Remember, he's now reaffirming what he said in the first two verses. I'm that door, he said. I'm that door. And if any man comes in there and stands in that pulpit, I'm sorry, let me... I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. Any man goes through Christ is going to be saved. And he shall go in and out and find pasture. And then look, here comes the devil. They tell us, well, that old thief, that old devil's come to kill and to steal and to destroy. Well, that may be true, but that isn't what it says. He's talking about a thief who he's already identified for us two times, and that thief is some guy standing in the pulpit that's up there for a reason other than to serve the Lord. And that guy comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And he says, you better get away from him, buddy, and you better develop a personal relationship with me, because I'm going to give you life more abundantly. And that other guy, that 6-foot icicle standing in the pulpit, he's going to drain all the spiritual life right out of you, because he's going to kill, and he's going to steal, and he's going to destroy. Verse 11, stay with me. Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. How do you know that? Because the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I'm going to ask you something, boys. Is your pastor laying his life down for the sheep? That ought to tell you something right there. Or are the sheep laying down their life for him to keep him comfortable in a bigger church and bigger budget and bigger salary and more attention? I'm the good shepherd. Good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, who's doing it just for the job or have other motives and not the shepherd, hey, boys, has anybody seen the devil yet? Has anybody seen the devil anywhere in these 10 verses? And people tell us every day the devil comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. And maybe he does, but that is not what this says. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming. Hey, boys, the devil just showed up. The wolf is the devil. And the thief, the hireling, cowardly pastor who's in it just for money, sees the devil coming. And what's he do? Well, he leaves the sheep. And he flees. And the wolf catches them. Who? Catches those sheep. He scatters them. The hireling flees because he is just doing it for a paycheck. He don't care for the sheep. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep. And they know me. And as the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So we have been, there's a lot of killing, a lot of stealing, and a lot of destroying going on, boys and girls, and it ain't the devil. It's those phony guys standing in the pulpit in the churches in your community. Somebody come on in.
Thank you, Coach. Amen, Coach. I just got to tell you, I've seen these verses. This is another awakening. But now in this new mindset, this renewed mind, I got to tell you, Coach, this is one of the most impactful lessons I've seen in years.
It changes everything, doesn't it, Mark?
It absolutely does, Coach. But I mean, this is a testament for reading the Bible deep. And I've not went back to these verses since. Just thank you. I appreciate what I've learned.
Amen. Thank you. Everybody raise your hand out there. Go ahead and raise your hand if you thought the thief was the devil. Everybody go ahead and raise your hand because it's universal. I hear it over and over and over. And I want to stand up and scream.
That's what we were taught, Coach.
That's what we were taught. You know why we were taught the devil was the thief? Because the guy doing the stealing didn't want you to know it was him.
Yep. It's amazing now that you just went over that and how clearly that all is.
So it makes
sense.
So, Serge, why aren't our pastors out in the streets? Can somebody extrapolate here a little bit and tell me why our pastors aren't out on the streets?
The pastor isn't out on the street because he's in his streets, and the streets are in the four walls.
He's leading them in. He's not leading them out.
Exactly.
They're all deceivers, Coach. They're deceivers.
Yes, that's right. He is about the paycheck, isn't he? Or it's about the public attention or about whatever and whatever. And so because again, we've been so distracted and not understand what the word really says to us. See, guys, we ought to have our antenna up. We ought to be focusing our attention at those false shepherds, those hirelings standing in the pulpits. If your pastor will not come out and engage the enemy, lead the people out. I promise you this. Somebody else owns his heart.
Coach, he's the evil shepherd gathering the flock so that the devil can take over.
Not only that, Vic. He invites the devil in.
Amen.
Invite the devil in. Evangelism outreach. And the next thing you know, you got the devil sitting right beside you in church. You don't even know. And we're saying, well, that daggone devil, he's killing and he's stealing and destroying. In fact, your pastor may even be saying that. That devil just killing and stealing and destroying. Well, gets creepy than what it says. So we got hirelings. Man, Coach, I'm out of time. Wow.
Coach, you just had a walk-off home run right there. You just won the game right there.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen. Listen, Mike, I had something I needed to get to today. We're out of time. Bear with us tomorrow, okay? Now, listen, I land at 6:30 in the morning. I take the red eye. I land at 6:30 in the morning. There's Mike and Mark, whoever, they're gonna get the show tipped off tomorrow, and I'm gonna join as soon as I get out of the airport and get to my car. I'm gonna join. But folks, we're at war, man. I'm telling you, we're at war, and there's the Lord wants us to win, and we're gonna be victorious. We serve a conquering King, and I want to do everything I can to help equip you to become more effective in this fight. God bless you all. Thanks for all the prayers, all the support. We'll see you tomorrow from Columbus, Ohio. God bless you.
God bless you, Coach.